Hi, and welcome to GamerCast, episode 171. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And I'm Catherine.
And this is the episode for the 27th of September, 2009.
Woohoo! Sorry, I'm getting a bit excited then. It's because I only know it's exactly 1 week to my birthday, and I only know half of what I'm getting. And I'm hoping for the rest.
What?
I'm hoping grandparents give me money so I can buy ODST because I can't afford it. It's not fair. Right. Did we have any letters?
No.
No letters.
Hang on, Catherine's just typing things on my computer.
Oh, shit.
For some reason.
It's okay. Should I just...
I need to re-tilt the fan. That's better. It's getting warm in here. That's again in a one. Okay.
Well, you guys can talk about the first thing on the show notes.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to find something out, okay? Just leave it alone.
Well, I'm just saying, because you're using my computer.
Yeah, but you can still talk about the first thing on the show notes.
Okay, did you see that Forza Motorsport 3... the demo for it has been released on Xbox Live Marketplace.
Oh yeah.
Have you played it?
I was impressed.
Yeah, it's quite good, isn't it?
Classic Forza. The thing I liked about it was, as soon as I started playing it, I thought, you know, I will back off a bit, I won't put my foot down too hard, because it's been a while since it's been on a racing game. But because it is classic Forza, if you've been playing a load of Forza 2, you glue back into the racing lines, you go start hugging around those bends, and it's like being back on the old game. But it looks so gorgeous. I must admit, I agree with your comment you put online, the fact that it's, for a demo at least, the graphics are looking immensely...
Well, it's not so much it's a demo, but Forza Motorsport has never been like the best looking racing game on the 360. That's always gone to Project Gotham.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, the graphics, they've really done a lot of work over Forza 2.
Did you have a go at racing inside the car or outside the car?
Everything.
I was quite impressed with the look for the inside. I only had a go at one car. I had a couple of laps around. I had a go in the Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was impressed. And the look of the menu system, it's very crisp and clean like it normally is, but it seems more very... white with the logo, where before it was they were using a lot of colors to symbolize like fiberglass and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know much about the game on features of what has been released. I'm presuming it's just going to be pretty much the same as what you got in the box last time, but maybe a bit more.
Yeah. Have you seen the new Uber Epic Super feature?
No.
You can rewind in the middle of a race.
Oh, yes, no, I did have a go at that in the demo. That was a bit freaky. I can only rewind so far back, but... Yeah,
it's perfect for long races, and, you know, you go out in the last fucking corner or something.
Yeah.
And you don't want to waste another 20 minutes doing the race, so you just hit rewind and go back, you know, until before the crash.
Tim will like it.
Yeah, Tim will definitely like it.
I imagine, you know... For a person who'd be like, oh, I don't need to use that, well, then you just wouldn't use it, and you would race without it. And I'm sure there's something that counts whether you've used them or not, because it did say on the demo that you've got them unlimited. You can use it as many times as you want, but I imagine there's probably some sort of races where, you know, it's not available or you only get so many goes at it.
Maybe, but I mean, you know, even the people who will say they never use it, everyone's got at least one time where they're on the last corner and they go off and they just think, fuck.
Yeah. Just to tighten up that racing line, or I should have done it different. And to be honest, you're really only going to use it when you muck up. So if you're trying to learn those racing lines and you kind of like you push it just a little bit too far to one side and all of a sudden you come off, you can bring it back a bit, have another go, and curve your line around a lot better. So it'll make you a better driver, because you'll keep going back and trying it again if you want to. I can't imagine that game mechanic will be usable in multiplayer, though.
It'll piss everyone off. You just keep spamming the rewind button.
It wouldn't really work, I don't think.
Because it would put off the other person, because
unless just, like, it didn't do anything on their end, and your car suddenly started reversing, and you bump into them.
I'm sure that would go down well. Anyway, so yeah, the Forza 3 demo is available. We suggest you check it out because it is awesome.
Yeah.
Moving on, I believe Adam wanted to talk about EVE Online.
Yeah, I've had the game for a while, and I played it for a bit and found that the game was, if anyone's played it before, it's very deep and time-consuming, as most massive multiplayer online games are, but more so than any other, and I just left it alone for a bit. I got back into playing World of Warcraft, and as of late, I stopped playing WoW, and, you know, You're Not On, and I just kind of like, yeah, I've lost my fire for it, which I do from some time to time. I did when I first started playing. I used to swap back and forth between City of Heroes and WoW, and I thought, right, I'll just freeze my account for a while, and I'll go back to it later. So when I freezed it, I just went, oh, I should have a look at EVE, and they've advertised that they got their new expansion, and they've got this new mechanics built into it, where now they've got wormholes in there, which you have to try and find them, and they're not visible of where they are, and then when you find one, you'll get dragged down into this new area, which is ancient space, and you might not necessarily be able to ever get back, and you'll have to find your way through this maze of pockets of universe to finally find another wormhole to get you back to normal EVE space, which I've not had a go at yet because of being so far in the beginning. But one of the things that they tried to do is to, like World of Warcraft, they've gone back and changed some of the elements of the game to make it easier for beginner players to get into the game and not feel like that they're at the bottom of Mount Everest and everyone's playing at the top and there's no way you'll ever get up there. With EVE, they've tried to do a similar thing, and they've gone back to the tutorials and tried to split up how much of a tutorial you get. Before, they literally went, right, here's your character, pick which race he is, now pick which bloodline he is, now put all the attributes you want on him. You don't know what they'll do, but you put on what you want and ruin your character and probably spend 3 months realizing you picked the wrong ones and have to go start again. And then we'll rush you through this quick tutorial and we'll give you a bit of this, a bit of that, a bit of that. And then we go shove. And you're in the space and you're kind of like, what the hell do I do now? And that's where I got to last time. And that's what put me off, was I didn't know where to go next. What they've done with this demo is they've broken it down to a very, very short demo, and it basically, they don't give you any of the attributes. They give you a set amount of attributes at the beginning, and the rest of them will be given in a later tutorial as you bump into it, when you really should know what you're doing. All of the bits that you need to learn, you learn a lot quicker than standard, so you learn about how you should be using them without just having to spend forever training on them. And the tutorial for how to control the ship and the game mechanics has been shortened down, so it actually doesn't last that long. It's literally one space fight and a few little things of you hit this to find this. This is how you get in and out of a ship, and this is how you do this. And then they suggest, go here and speak to these people, and you'll go to a station, and there's three people that teach you the different parts of the game. So you have one that's teaching you about combat, one that's teaching you about the economics side of the game, and the other one about the actual building of items. And you can go into them whenever you want. It's actually built into the menu system, so you can go back, find this station, jump to the station at any moment. Obviously, if you're far away, you'll have to travel the whole distance. It's not an instant jump. But at any moment, if you're kind of like, I want to be a fighter, you do the training, you go off and you blew up pirates and stuff, and you're kind of like, actually, yeah, I like this, but I'd like to be able to know how to build my own ship as well. Then you could go into the help thing, click on tutorials, it will bring up these people, and you go, ah, there's the station, freighter route, you go there, and you go through all the tutorials. So it doesn't feel like you went, la 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 la, there you go. Yeah, I can't remember any of that. Well, tough. Make another character if you can't remember.
You're playing EVE Online instead of World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
Boo.
So I'm in a spaceship, and I'm in space, and I'm blowing up pirates. It's really cool. I must admit,
space
it always...
pirates.
Yeah, space pirates.
Not just pirates.
And they've got blood patterns all over their ships and stuff, and I was shooting them, and it's cool. But yeah, I must admit, I quite like it, and it, for now, it's once you started doing stuff like mining and things like that, it's one of those games where you're like, right, you need to defeat these citizen searches and get our scrolls back from this person, and it's like so many jumps away. And you just sit there and you kind of fall asleep at the screen. But the great thing I'm finding is, if I know I'm going to be doing any of that, I'm going to be doing 12 jumps to a sector. I'm just going to get my ship jumping on autopilot, slide the MacBook to one side, get out the sketchbook, and carry on drawing. So I feel like you'll be able to hit two birds with one stone. I'll be able to do my drawing and stuff and play a massive multiplayer online game because I'm not having to control some dwarf running in a direction. So, yeah, I've got back into it. So I must admit, the changes have made the game a little bit easier to get into on the initial stage. They've jumped out another 14-day trial to play the game. And I must admit, I've learned some more about the game. I've listened to a few podcasts, and it's intrigued me a lot to play it. It's not as based on the idea of tank, DPS, and healer, but you can use those tactics if you want. You can have a ship that's more of a tanking ship that just goes in there and shoots everybody and gets everyone's attention, where you'll have fast attack craft that are moving around quickly and shooting everybody from every direction and stuff. And the coolest thing I found out is, you know, like when we play WoW, we can actually buy one of those 30-day cards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can buy the 30-day card and not use it. You put in the code on the website, and they'll turn it into a digital version.
Yeah.
And then you can sell the digital version on the marketplace in the game for in-game money.
Oh.
So if you're making lots of money, you can keep buying these 30-day cards for the economy runs off what's called ISK.
Yeah.
So you'll use God knows how many billion ISK, and you'll buy yourself a 30-day card out of your own in-game money that you've played the game to have, and you'll get another 30 days on the game.
That's not bad.
So if you're a really hardcore player and you're really up there, you can actually financially pay to run the game internally.
Wow, I should do that.
But at the end of the day, you have to remember, EVE aren't that bothered. Sorry, the CCP that make the game aren't bothered because someone did have to pay for that game time. It might not be you that paid for it, someone else paid for it. But the money did come in. It's just that one person pays for it and someone else uses it.
Yeah, that sounds fair, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that other person was like, yeah,
no,
I've got loads of money to buy a new ship. And I just spent, God knows, you know, 20 quid or whatever it is for a game card. But instead of getting extra money on my account, I've got a brand new ship because I can afford it now because I'm a lazy bum and I can't be asked. So yeah, it was that one mechanic that I thought was quite ingenious sort of thing. But yeah, EVE Online, I'm pretty stoked about it, so that's my new thing at the moment. I don't know how long it'll last for. Yeah,
10 days.
keeping me going.
Moving on, the Nintendo Wii had a price cut recently.
Not in the UK, though.
In the UK, it was a bit different because it had a price rise. Well, yeah,
it went up to 200 quid.
The RRP went to 200 quid, but very few retailers, if any,
put the
price up. They just swallowed the loss themselves.
They just wouldn't sell it. But,
okay.
So, we don't get a price cut, but in October, they're putting in, I'm thinking alongside with Wii Sports, the Sports Resort game as well as a Motion Plus.
Well, that's not a bad pack.
Apparently may still be 180 quid as well.
That's pretty good.
Which means you're paying the same for an extra game on top, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure on if you get it on top or it's just the Resort one now, but you get the Motion Plus too.
Either way, the Wii is massively overpriced compared to everything else.
Why?
Yeah. PS3, $250. Wii, $180. What a rip.
I must admit, I think the Wii is at a good price, but the other consoles' prices are starting to come down for what you're actually getting with the console. And with the new PlayStation 3 out, the larger hard drive price come down a bit more, the old PlayStation coming down in price, Xbox is getting cheaper all the time. The Wii has not been dropping as dramatically because it can sell for that price, but you only need the other consoles to get a little bit closer, and people are going, well, actually, I know the Wii's a good console, but it graphically and the other style of games, I could just go buy a PlayStation 3 for a Blu-ray, or I could get an Xbox 360 for only 50 quid more. So when they get a little bit closer, I think Nintendo are definitely going to have to start trying to meet up with the prices and start lowering it down. I think they've got a while yet before they have to do that, but they will have to consider that price for what you're paying.
Well, it's because it's not a Nintendo thing to drop prices.
Mm.
They always try and keep them as high as possible, which is why, like, of course, their games don't drop in price.
Yeah, if I remember the good old days about an N64 and nearly paying 60 quid for a video game, that was scary. You know, the top tier ones like Legend of Zelda or Mario Kart or something like that were always the top end.
It's because they're always the first party game, so it's like how you still have to pay 30 quid for Mario 64 on the DS in places like Game.
Mm.
Because it just doesn't drop in price, even though it came out on release.
Yeah.
So that's, what, 3 years old, maybe? Or is it four now? Maybe it's 4 years.
Mario... That would have been...
Well, it came out on release. Was that 2006?
No, Wii was released in 2006.
No, the DS. Was that 2005?
Oh.
Or maybe 2004?
No, it was 2004 because... Yeah, I graduated... did I graduate?
I think I got it in sixth form when I got my DS.
It would have been 2004. Yeah, it would have been 2004.
So
because that's the year I graduated, and I picked it up in the third year at uni, because I picked up a DS, and then I got myself an American PSP.
Okay, so...
Yeah,
so
it would have been 2004, and it was a release date file.
So people were are still paying 30 quid for a game that came out 5 years ago, which is a rehash of a game that came out 10 years ago?
That's
actually, no,
really...
it's not 10 years old. Or actually...
was that a release?
10,
yeah,
11, 12...
Mario 64 was a release title 30... on the N64.
Is that 96 the N64 came out? Or was that PlayStation?
No, that might be PlayStation. I must have been around about... I think it was 97.
97. So,
I'm sure it might be 7.
So that's 10, 11, 12 years old. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that is quite crazy.
You never knew? Because this is really news about a Wii price cut, not how Nintendo are rip-off merchants.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Xbox Live Arcade games now have a new maximum size of 2 gigabytes.
Yep, as opposed to the old 50 MB.
Yeah, originally it was 50 megabytes, and gradually it's got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and now it's 2 gig.
Which is crazy.
So every game is 2 gig?
Well, no, they've got a maximum size now for 2 gig, so they can go up to the size of 2 gig. So things like Sonic and all that are still, like, absolutely tiny, being just a port, pretty much.
I like that on some elements, because if they're saying, right, developers, you've got 2 gigs to play with, then... Look at, what was it? Battlefield. Having a decent first-person shooter like that, as an arcade game, I thought was an absolute genius idea, because it just took it up to a new level of saying, other people who not necessarily too keen on arcade games, like myself, I do like them, but a lot of them are kind of like, yeah, I like the demo, but I don't think I could actually part with my cash to buy this game. But there are ones that are out there which are more like what I would call disc games. They're up there with disc games.
Yeah.
And I would say that one is definitely like that. And if you start expanding that size limit to developers, they might start saying, well, actually, we've got this game. We could just do a different version in the engine, a port down into a smaller size, less levels, just a multiplayer version, and shove it on arcade. Because if people went nuts for Battlefield, I think that got number 2 spot on downloads. So... at least that shows that people are willing to actually pay a good cent of money to have an arcade game that they can just click on at any moment and actually play that sort of style of game. So I think that's a good thing.
I think they need to change the name of it.
Yeah, it's not really an arcade anymore if you've got 2 gigabyte games.
Because, I mean, okay, half of the games still coming out are arcade-y in a sense, but there's also stuff that isn't. It's like with the PSN, it fits it because it's not an arcade marketplace. It's just PSN games.
Yeah.
They should just call them... What, they should just relate it to the marketplace in some way, I don't know. I think Live Arcade seems a bit obsolete now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because of the style of games that was originally on there, it was just like...
all arcade games.
All retro, new version arcade games, like the one that came with Project Gotham. Can't remember what it's
called.
Geometry Wars. I started playing that a while ago. I found out my memory card. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of like you just expect Geometry Wars style games. And it's those little games you just pick up to play for the hell of it for 5 minutes in between doing something else. But now we've got such different style of games that are out there now. We're moving away from that arcade genre. And even to the point now where we're having things like Battlefield and other stuff where it's more like PlayStation Network and the retro stuff on the Wii, where it's just either old style games or modern style gaming, because PlayStation Network is a lot of more small games that would be kind of like $24.99 on disc, but it's better for them to not have to pay for the development costs of shoving out on PlayStation 3 Blu-ray, where they could just release it for $7.99 or $12 or $15.99 on PlayStation Network download.
Mm.
So I think it
of course not having a retail release is also
limiting in some way, because not everyone has a credit card
and not everybody wants to download a game or even knows they can download a game.
If you're
especially this sort of year, you're getting old ladies coming in, I need a game for little Johnny, and
Johnny wants a game that you can't buy in a shop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't know what to do, and all she can do is buy a gift card.
I did notice that they are doing cards for the PlayStation Network now.
Yeah, they have actually... I'm not sure if they're in stores yet.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of
them. They have announced them. But they're like 20 quid, 50 quid or something like that.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I do like about PlayStation Network is it's actual real money and it allows you to know what you're dealing with. And that's what I'm kind of hoping with the fact that they've announced that with the downloadable games, Xbox One games that they've got so far, and then all the new Xbox 360 games that are digital download, at least they've changed it across to proper prices. It would be nice if the arcade marketplace maybe went across to the fact you know what you're buying. It's not Microsoft points anymore. I'd like to be able to know how much I'm paying for.
Yeah, but Microsoft used their points for more than just the Xbox.
Yeah.
Only thing, of course, then as well, is that if they were to change it to just money, there'd be a lot of stuff having to be changed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There'd be a lot of stuff to be changed. But the fact that they changed it on that one thing, I'm curious of whether or not they are going to maybe drag it partway across the board so at least all games are bought on that. But it seems a weird thing, because I feel sorry for anyone who's like got loads of Microsoft points saved up to buy the Xbox 360 games, and then now they came out, and you've got to actually just spend 20 quid of your own cash off your account. And you can't buy it. The points won't do anything.
Mm.
They should be able to let you to convert them across if you've got points.
Well, they're not going to do it, so it's really a hypothetical conversation, isn't it?
True.
Next on the show notes.
PSP Go. I've not yet seen it being unboxed. It was one of my things on my list I had to do, but I have seen it being used. I'm mixed. Part of the geeky part of me is like, it looks really shiny and cool and I want one. And the other part of me is like, I don't know.
You think it looks cool?
Yeah, part of me think it looks cool. I must admit, I do like the PSP, but I buy the PSP, then I play on it one, I'm just kind of like, yeah, and it ends up in my sock drawer again, and I don't use it ever again.
I think the normal PSPs look way nicer than the Go. I think it looks a bit silly.
The Go looks nice until you take the keyboard out.
Yeah, because it's nice and small.
I can see me playing videos on it, but then I'm kind of like...
Well, yeah, for video, it's fine, but otherwise, it looks a bit silly.
Yeah.
Because then it's also quite a lot to hold. Because you wouldn't want to drop, 225 quid's worth of PSP.
Yeah, it's starting to get like having a fancy phone again, and you just kind of like, I can see what they're doing. They're trying to force back into that market that the iPhone's taken from, but I don't know, it's that whole slidiness of it, and at the fact that you're actually having to have that slide out for a gaming situation. I saw a review on the Gadget Show, and the guy was saying his complaint about it is because he's like in his early 40s, late 30s, that it was hurting his hand after a while because everything was in a very awkward position to be fit into the slider in comparison to where everything is on the standard PSP. And that's the only thing I can think of is that after a while, your hands are going to be like when you were playing with the old grey Game Boy and your hands start going numb because of the way you hold it. And I don't know. Part of me is kind of like, oh, it'd be nice, but it's the sort of thing where I'd probably really love it to death if someone gave me one for free. The fact that it's just under the price of a brand new PlayStation 3, I don't know. I think I'd mother it too much and I wouldn't take it outside for fear of dropping it. It ended up in two pieces.
Yeah, someone would nick it.
Yeah, if you had that, someone would just grab it and run. I always used to be really scared when I was travelling down to Southampton from Wales, and I used to take my PSP with me, and I would shove it. No, it wasn't down to Southampton. It was when I was going home. I was travelling home on the train, and I would wrap up my hoodie and put it on the table on the train and stuff my PSP into it, and I had Spider-Man 2. It was the only UMD I had because I had an American one. I could only play American UMDs, and it wasn't out in this country anyway. And I would just sit there and watch Spider-Man 2 and make sure that no one could see what I was doing, and it was all stuffed inside my hoodie with the headphones coming out into my ears, and I would just sit there and watch it. And then when I get to the end, I was like, yeah, I've watched the movie, but I can't play any video games. It's draining the battery.
Isn't that a bit over the top?
I know no one could get anywhere when it's got my... you know, they're stuck in a train, but it was also to keep it upright.
You know, I regularly get my £1,600 computer out on a train.
Yeah.
What's somebody going to do? Nick it? They're on the train.
Well, yeah, I must admit.
It depends on where you are, though.
Yeah.
I feel dodgy playing on, like, a DS in the middle of Newport.
Yeah. I nearly lost my luggage in Newport. I was on a bus coming back, and... The trains weren't working, so they had to drop us part way up by coach to the next station. And I was looking out the bus, and I looked down at the bus stop, and I noticed this bag with everyone else, and it looked like my bag, and everybody was walking up, and the door shut, and the coach was about to go off, and I just had this instinct, go check it, just go check it. So I ran down the coach and said, excuse me, I think you left my bag outside. And he was like, oh, I'm terribly sorry. And he just literally would have left my bag and all my stuff. And I think I had electronical goods in there as well. And he was just going to leave it on the side of the road in the middle of Newport.
Yes, electronical.
You have to give it to the people to put it on the bus.
I was already on. No, you don't understand. I was on the bus already. I'd been travelling from Cardiff and we got to Newport. And he took it off thinking it was someone's. And didn't check.
Okay.
And then didn't put it back on again. He just left it at the side of the road.
Okay, that's a bit bad.
He thought it was to come off at Newport, and I was just kind of like, oh,
losing my clothes. You probably put it in the bit for Newport.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, and then took it off and didn't care. But yeah, nearly lost my clothes in Newport.
Moving along.
Yes, moving along.
What's this stoked thing you're on about?
Stoked, right. Well, beginning of this year, me and my mate Tom went out to Andorra snowboarding, and when we got back, Tom is now very addicted to snowboarding, and he brought the question, what games are out snowboarding? And nothing much had been out. Amped had been out for a while and it got a bit old, so I had a look around to see what was going on, and found that Shaun White snowboarding that was coming out.
Uh-huh.
And stoked. Now looked to see which was better and which was worse, and Shaun White came out pretty quick. It wasn't exactly a great snowboarding game with the elements it was trying to go towards. And I looked into Stoked, and unfortunately Stoked was only for release in the United States, which are, you know, by the time...
Do you know who makes it?
Hang on, let me just... it is... I can't even pronounce the company's name. It's Z-U-S-H-I.
Zushi? Z-U-S-H-I. Zushi.
Oh no, that's the publisher. It's developed by Bongfish.
Okay.
So it's a low... I think it's low-end game company, but they put a lot of work into this game because of the mechanics they've used, and they've designed a weather system for the mountain range. So the whole game is based around this mountain range, and mm-hmm. when you go up, the weather system is generating what the weather's going to be like. So as you come on to play the game, the weather will change, so you can actually choose which mountain you go up to snowboard on, depending how the weather is. Because if you're like, actually, I don't want a blizzard, then I won't go up that one. But if you go up that one, it's going to be more snow. And the actual powder depth on the mountain will change depending on how much snow, and the snow will actually land on the mountain and stay on the mountain. So they're using a physics engine to account for all of that, which I thought was quite
nice.
You
don't need to use a physics engine to do that.
Well, whatever they're using.
It could be a variable, wouldn't it?
Yeah. All they need to do is, if you've got more snow on the ground, you just change the graphic for like when you snow down and you get the snow come out.
But you actually this.
And then you might want to increase the sensitivity or however it would react, or decrease the sensitivity.
Yeah, whatever. It'd make you more sluggish, like you're in deeper powder. So the more it's snowing, the powder starts picking up a lot more.
What was that?
I don't know. It sounded like someone playing with a badly tuned recorder.
Oh.
Who knows?
Horrible. But anyway, yeah, it's got this whole game mechanic built into it. I must admit, it looks quite nice from what I've seen. And I was just having a look to see what's coming out soon, went onto the game's website, and I just found it there for release on 2nd of October. So it's out, it's a RRP of $34.99, but it looks like it's being released for $29.99, so low-endish style game, but I don't know, it might be a load of crap because of the company that's made it, or it might be a gem or in the rough here, so it's going to be one that I'm going to look into. I doubt it's going to have a demo out on Xbox because it doesn't look like it's a top-tier talked-about game, especially the fact that it's taken so long to go from American release to Europe release.
I doubt there'll be a demo.
No, I wouldn't think there would be. But I know that my mate Tom is dying to play it, but I imagine he'll get it for me, so when he picks up a copy, I'll do a review on it. But yeah, stoked. Yeah.
Star Trek Online. What's this about? Other than Star Trek and
being online. It's being done by... I can't remember what the publishers are called. Same people... Yeah, Cryptic Studios. Same people did City Heroes and have just released Champions Online, are doing Star Trek Online.
Oh, dear.
You get to play any race you want or create your own race.
Any race you want, eh? So
can you be a Tribble? Is it a Tribble?
I don't know if a Tribble fits.
Tribbles are extinct now, anyway.
I want to be a Tribble.
Didn't you hear that the Klingons invaded their homeworld and wiped them out?
I think you. Tribble. As long as it can captain a ship, you can be it, I think.
I'm sure a Tribble can captain a ship.
But you'd have it in a nice little red scarf to say that it's a command officer with a little badge on it.
one with a little badge.
But, yeah, it's a little bit weird. My mate was telling me about, watched a video about how the mechanics are actually working for the fact that it's an MMO. You only play as, like, the captain. So you play as the captain.
Is that it? You can't play as anyone else?
No, you're the captain. You have your ship, but you have a crew. And depending what type of crew you have, you know, like when you're playing WoW and you're kind of like, I need a new pair of shoulders because they give me this sort of buff and this, that, and the other, it'll be like, right, I need this science officer because he gives me this sort of buff, and I need security crew, and I need this really cool engineer, and you'll upgrade to a better engineer.
Ooh,
as well,
I'm
going to
upgrade
yourself.
Geordi LaForge.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him eyeballs.
It's about the crew that you have, and then you have someone who's a tanking ship, someone who's DPS, and even a ship that can actually heal and stuff like that. And it was just,
how can a ship heal other ships?
I know. I don't know exactly the mechanics they're using for it, but he said it's basically running off the same, you know, tank and spank sort of thing. But you can all go down on away missions. But when you go down as away mission and you play as your avatar, it's just the captains. So it's lots of captains. And I was like, oh, that's not fair. Where's the guy in the red shirt? Or the yellow shirt as it is now.
Wears red.
You ought to have the captain, and then you'll have, like, your data character, and then your Wolf character who's in charge, and then you need the yellow shirt guy who always gets killed. and you can only survive so many yellow shirts being killed, and that'd be the end of it. But
yeah, the episode where you find out that the Klingons hunted down the Tribbles was Trials and Tribulations, which was a Deep Space Nine episode.
Yeah.
And, in this episode, Worf reveals that the Tribbles were hunted down and exterminated by the Klingon Empire.
I hate the Klingons.
And I must admit, Dax looked very hot in the very short skirts from the old Star Trek series. Just had to put that out there. But yeah,
specially trained warriors were sent to kill every Tribble in existence.
Why?
And an armada of Klingon vessels obliterated the Tribble homeworld.
Rude.
Klingons are fucking awesome.
But yeah, you can customize your own ship and customize your character. You can create your own race as well. So I imagine if you can find something that looks furry enough and brown enough, you could always call it like the Advanced Tribble Race if you wanted to.
When they went back in time, they brought some back to the future where they still exist. But yeah, the Klingons hunted them down and destroyed them.
I think he's definitely going to be a Star Trek fan. Games, you're gonna have a lot of the Star Trekkies playing it.
Let's talk about Sonic. Yeah, I mean, we know this is gonna be a game for Star Trek nerds, so let's talk about Sonic, which a more general audience will appreciate, like Solitaire.
Yeah, I was just, wow, this is like one of the first times I've actually, no, I spoke about it on the Wii, didn't I? Anyway, on the DSiWare channel, I think it came out a week ago, so it didn't come out this Friday, but maybe the Friday before or the Friday before that. They released 2-in-1 Solitaire. It's got just normal Solitaire and Spider Solitaire, which I thought was quite cool. And it was only 200 points, so it was £2. And you use the touchscreen to actually play it. And it has your all-time score, how many wins, and how long you've actually played it for as well on the top screen. I thought it was quite cool. I didn't mind paying £2 for it, so... I got Solitaire on my
DSi. It's Spider
now.
And...
well, yeah, considering it's Spider as well.
Because the Solitaire, normal Solitaire, I don't really get what you're supposed to be doing, to be honest.
It was harder.
Yeah.
But then I actually found... Oh, what are you going to say? Your mum.
I'm going to say, my mum plays the normal Solitaire, but she can play it with cards on a table.
Oh, yeah, I did that in sixth form a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? I'm playing cards.
We all played cards lots.
Yeah, my mum does that.
So.
I remember Shithead.
Okay. I don't even remember how you play it, but whatever.
We used to play poker at uni, and one of my mates went home, and he came in over the weekend back from visiting his parents. Walks in, and we're all around the dining room table playing poker, and everyone's got a spoon. And he just kind of staring at us, because we've all got a spoon in the left hand, and he was like, "What's the spoon for?" And then I just pick up this big spoon with peanuts and I go, "It's for the peanuts." And he was kind of like, "Okay." And we had to all have a spoon to eat the peanuts because Sarah, one of my flatmates, was majorly allergic to peanuts. So we couldn't touch the cards if we'd been eating peanuts.
Okay. That's really weird.
We all wanted to have the peanuts with our beer. So we all had to have a big dinner spoon to eat the peanuts with. So we would never touch the peanuts. And touched the cards at the same time, so she didn't go into shock. She touched the wrong card.
That's
crazy. Someone was like joking, "I want to mark all the aces with peanut residue so I know what she's got." And I was like, that's just cruel.
That is just mean.
Yeah, but yeah, spoons.
But yeah, so that's quite cool, and I thought it wasn't too bad for, well, with how the Wii points pricing is now, or the Nintendo points, it pretty much comes out to £2.
It shows how they're pushing towards a wider audience for the DS and the DSi.
Well,
just the fact that more people will like that sort of thing.
Yeah, they've got Sudoku out on DSiWare as well, and that's about 200 points as well. But there are already, like, loads of Sudoku games on the DS anyway. But it's nice saving it to your memory card.
Hmm.
And, yeah.
It runs off an SD memory card, doesn't it?
Yep. SD. I've got like a 16 gig. Actually, no, I've got an 8 gig one in it. Like an SDHC one. It's quite good, though. It has its internal memory, of course, but...
Oh, that's cool.
I must say, recently, at work, I have realised how much I prefer the DSi because of its screen. The original DS, oh my god. I had to use one. No, the colours on it.
The colours just big differences, though.
Yeah. Well, even in comparison just to a DS Lite, the colours are so... Well, there's no vividness to them.
Right.
Also, DS Lite, looking at the screen for a few hours really hurts my eyes now. And DSi is just, yeah, so much clearer. I'm happy I have a DSi.
I would be tempted to upgrade, but then it would mean that I'd have to dig out my old Game Boy Advance to play any of my Game Boy Advance games, which I still drag around with me. I've got a few Game Boy Advance games that I'll quite happily shove in, and that was the only thing that I would miss from having a DSi is not being able to play those games.
Yeah, but, same here, but
I can
just cope, I suppose.
I think I'll probably get one when mine breaks. And that's probably how I'm looking at it. I mean, no rush.
Do you imagine it's going to break?
No.
They don't generally break.
Unless something goes pop in it. I'm quite happy with my DS. I don't use it very often. It's more something I'll take it to work now and again if I can't be asked to read or whatever. I must admit, I still got to pull my finger at some point and download the software for my R4 so I can read electronic comics, so I can use it to just read comics at work with. But I haven't got around to doing that yet. Next we've got Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, I was just saying that the Ninja Gaiden, I say Gaiden, I'm not sure if it's Gaiden or Gaiden.
I've always said Gaiden because it sounds gayer.
Ninja Gaiden. Yeah.
Ninja Gaiden.
Cheers, Paul, because it sounds gay. Ninja Gaiden 2 Sigma demo's out. I think it came out maybe on Friday. I think that's when they do the updates on the PSN. It's only on the PSN, though, I think.
Isn't it a remake of the first one or something like that?
I'm not sure, but I have read about if you move the six-axis, their boobs move.
Okay.
Which sounds really stupid.
I heard that it's pretty much the same levels, it's just a different character.
I haven't read anything up on it. I just know that the demo's out and that the six-axis, if you move it, moves their boobs.
Right.
Or someone's boobs. I have no idea.
Is there a Ninja Gaiden 2, and this is Ninja Gaiden 2 Sigma?
Oh, yeah. Or... Ninja Gaiden 2 is the 360 one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing what they did before. So, like, because they redid Ninja Gaiden, didn't they?
Yeah, because my mate couldn't work out. He said, I don't know if this is a remake of Ninja Gaiden or Ninja Gaiden 2. And I think it might be Ninja Gaiden 2, but they've put Sigma on it because they've done something different to it. Or it's a different character. Supposedly it's a different character or something like that. I don't know. I wasn't deep in it. He loves the game because he says it's incredibly hard and he likes things that are hard and not too easy.
Loads of people like it because it's hard.
He was complaining about Batman was too easy. And I was like, what level do you play it on? Normal. There you go. If I played it on normal, I'd probably throw the controller at the screen at some point. But... there we go. I'm not that fussed with it. I played it and I died around about 3 times on the same bit. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm starting to get frustrated now. Lost interest.
Okay, so the past week, I think, it was a Tokyo Game Show over in Japan.
Sweet.
A few things have come about from it. So, like, there was a new Last Guardian trailer, which is the game from the makers of Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. But other than that, there's not really been anything that's hit my radar.
I think it's all pretty much...
It's been pretty quiet, in my opinion, because I've not really seen much about it.
They've been chatting loads about Metal Gear stuff and things like that, but...
Yeah, there's a new Metal Gear game that's just come out or coming out on PSP, which is carrying on from the Metal Gear old school Snake series that they were doing on the PSP. And obviously the... got the new one that's on the Xbox 360 only, which is a bit freaky to actually have it on the Xbox only, which is where you play Raiden again. Which I'll get for the hell of it, but...
One thing that we looked at today was they've released a Dead Rising 2 trailer.
Hmm.
Not too sure on what context it is.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
As far as I've heard, this is going to be the multiplayer.
Yeah. If it is, it's cool, because it's the whole Smash TV Running Man game show.
Yeah. It's a bit weird.
It's supposed to be like a game show, you know, so that it's people versus the zombies, and they've got the zombies into this area to just use them as this game show thing. And this will be. Yeah, and this is going to be the multiplayer section of the game, where you go around in all these different things, like the gladiator ball, and you play. It looks like you're playing gladiator stroke, like Running Man, like you said, games with zombies.
Which could be cool.
Yeah, I like the idea of it, the fact of being able to run around with your mate, the fact that you could run around and shove things over the zombies' heads, and then someone could come around with the motorbike with the chainsaws on, and just zombie killing fest. It seems a good way of doing it without having to try and give a reason why. So it's a good way of saying, here's your reason why. You're on a game show. We're going to give you points, and points mean prizes. Kill as many zombies as you can without getting your head ripped off. Go.
Yeah. Considering, like, most people, well, not most people, some people won't buy a game if it doesn't have a bloody multiplayer to it.
Yeah. We're getting into this area now where a lot of people, you get that genre and style of game, you don't expect a multiplayer. If they do give you a multiplayer, it's normally crap. Then you get your hybrid, where it's your classic single player, you know, Gears of War or Halo 3, and you play the multiplayer. Not the multiplayer, you play the single player. You've done the single player, and then the game continues on multiplayer. And then you get the ones where people just buy it for the multiplayer. Even if there is a single player, you just buy it for the multiplayer. And sometimes it's not even their fault, like Modern Warfare. The single player was absolutely awful, as far as I was concerned. But multiplayer, one of the best first-person shooters around at the time, and it was really good. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with this next one, whether it'll be the same sort of caliber. But I agree with you. A lot of people are expecting, on some games, they expect a multiplayerable play. And I think a lot more people are into playing multiplayer because of the abilities of Xbox Live and being able to just play online and shoot the annoying little American kid that screamed at you in a high-pitched voice.
I'm in Gad!
Chocolate milk! Chocolate milk! I still find that funny. We were talking about that last week, the chocolate milk kid on Rainbow Six.
Yeah, it's a bit of a laugh.
My mate found on YouTube a video that this kid had done, and it was very all over the place, and he was trying to talk into the camera as quick as he can, but he said his brother is downstairs and his mum is just telling him that she's cancelled his World of Warcraft account, and he runs into his bedroom, puts the camera down in the corner, and then runs out, and then you just hear the screaming, and then his brother comes in and looks like he's having an epileptic fit in the bedroom, and he's just like screaming his head off, smacking himself against things. He's got the remote and he's smacking himself over the head, and he looks like he's trying to insert the remote up his ass. And then he ends up under the quilt and he's looking like he's fitting. And before you know it, he gets out from under the quilt and he's only wearing a pair of boxer shorts. And then his mum yells at him and he's like, "What?" And then you don't hear what she yells, and then he just storms out the bedroom and goes downstairs. And then you see the brother come in and he looks like he's about to wet himself from laughter from being behind the door, and picks the camera up, and then it goes off. I'm not sure how realistic it was, because he really did look like he was putting it on a bit, but it was funny, not regardless of what kids will do when they can't play video games.
Some kids are quite crazy.
Yeah, I watched a program about addiction of video games, and they had World of Warcraft, and there was this kid that he normally has to buy at least one or two keyboards a month, because he will break one out of sheer anger, out of some person that he's playing against does something wrong in an instance or in a raid, or he just loses his temper with his mum because she tells him he has to do something else while he's trying to play this game, like go to bed or go to school or something like that. And he'll just smash the keyboard against the wall and have to buy a new one. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, you need to start riding a bike and not play video games. Go outside with fresh air. I hated playing video games when I was a kid. I had short attention span. I could only do it for a short period of time. I was like, yeah, I want to go outside now.
I just played loads of games.
Do you want to talk about Scribblenauts again?
Yes. I played through Scribblenauts.
Don't spoil anything.
I won't spoil anything, but game mechanic-wise, I've got into it. It's very intuitive of the different things you can do. Me and my mate Mike have both got it, and we've been talking to each other each level of how we've gone about doing it, and we keep finding that some things we do similar and some things we don't do similar because of the different items we've both found, and the fact that you can attach certain items to other items. And one item which won't ruin anything is glue. You can write in glue and you get a drop of glue, and glue allows you to glue two items together. Okay. So you can pretty much use your own thing. So without ruining anything, one situation I needed to move something, so I made a helicopter, then I tied a piece of string to the bottom of the helicopter, tied more string to the string, and then more string to the string, and then tied the string to the thing I wanted to, and then flew the helicopter and moved what I wanted to move. Eventually your brain starts thinking around different ways to get around certain situations. It works on a world system, but instead of having to complete all of the worlds to get to the next one, you actually get in-game money, and you actually have to get enough money to buy to unlock the next set of levels. But each different one is in a different setting, and when you go there, you have a button that allows it to change from action puzzles to puzzles. So for argument's sake, you might have to try and help a chef cook something, or you might have to go buy some fruit in a fruit stall, and then you go to the action one and it's get a penguin across the water, and there's a killer whale in the water, and or something like that, you know. So it's determined on different things, and all I can say is sometimes when I'm really, really, really stuck, there are two items that always come into handy when I'm against bad guys: ninjas and T-Rexes. Always useful. They're like the Swiss Army knife of getting rid of people out of your way. But yeah, it's fun going through and actually writing different things, and I keep finding different things every single time. Another element which is very cool about the game is that on the top left-hand corner you have a magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
When you click on that, it goes green, and it means that it won't allow you to have the same game controls. All you can do is click on things, and when you click on things, a little tag will come up, and it will tell you what it's called, so you can find its in-game spelling. So if you're like, ooh, not seen that before, I could do with that, and then you can click on it and go, ah, so that's what I'm going to type to get that item. So you can learn different items or people or characters.
That sounds interesting, because I'd imagine there's a lot of stuff in there which you wouldn't think to
try. And you see it, and you think it's called that. You keep typing it never turns up, and you're like, well, how do I get that? Because pretty much everything that's in the game, scenery-wise, you can bring up yourself, because there is a scenery editor where you can create your own levels. I've not had a go at doing that bit yet. You can get your own avatars, so I've got a bit fed up of playing as a standard character, so when I saved up enough money, I bought some avatars. So I've got a zombie, a robot, and a ninja, so I just go around as a ninja all the time, which is quite cool. You can be a pirate or whatever else you want to be. The spell check on it's pretty good. I keep misspelling a lot of things, and I normally get it in a list of things that are spelled similar and also what I'm actually after. The only thing that I found is annoying is if, for argument's sake, this isn't ruining anything, but you wanted to stack a lot of boxes on top of each other, you have to write box and then enter, and then you have to hit the book again, write box and hit enter. So
that's,
if you want if you want a lot of the same thing, there's no copy feature. You can't just go copy that. But obviously, they don't want you to go crazy with how much you create, because there is a bar, like I said last time, a thermometer that says how much content you can put in the world before it says, right, you've had enough, which is very similar to Little Big Planet. But yeah, as the game goes, it's not too bad. I have found now and again, you start clicking on the screen without having something up, and you realize that the guy tries to run to it, and if you're not trying to go near someone, because all of a sudden it will try and attack you, your stupid guy just runs in front of it and trips over something and knocks everything over, and you're like, oh my god, what have you done? And you have to reset the level. So you have to be a bit careful. The D-pad's quite good, because you can leave the character where he is, and you could say, I want a T-Rex, and the T-Rex comes out, and he doesn't drop onto the land, he just hovers there. You grab him with the stylus, and then use the D-pad to move the camera around and drop it where you want to. But you just have to make sure you just don't tap again, otherwise the character starts running straight towards the T-Rex and gets eaten. But yeah, I must admit, I'm really getting into the actual game mechanics a lot more. It's you start trying to think of how would you do it in real life if you had this book that would recreate anything that you write down. So yeah, I've been doing all sorts of things. There are a few things I would say, but I don't want to do any spoilers. I want to allow people to find these items for themselves. So think of anything, everything and anything, and just try it out, and you'll be amazed at what's actually in the game. There are a few items that are the same model for the same thing, but it is pretty much the same thing. So,
like World of Warcraft. They reuse the same things over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. This one won't ruin anything, but if you type in... no, I can't remember what the alternative version is. If you type in Zeus, you get a guy in a robe with a white beard. You type in God, you get the same model.
Well, same dude, isn't it?
Yeah, but there are different things like that. Titan, you type in Titan, you get this really big bloke. You type in giant, you get the same big bloke. But it's the idea of people might be thinking the different word, but the item goal that they want to get to is pretty much the same thing. So you can type in shovel, you can type in spade. I do think they look slightly different, but different things like that. And sometimes you've got to think, what would you really do? And then sometimes you've got to try and think out of the box and not what you really would do. Because, you know, you're trying to stop an ant trying to attack a picnic. You start thinking of God knows what else, and then all of a sudden it drops into your brain, and you go, I'll just type wall, and drop a wall there, and you won't go past the wall. And you're kind of like, So it's different things like that. You've got to start thinking inside the box and outside the box to achieve these different things. But yeah, I'm quite impressed with it. I would definitely say it's worth $24.99 as a game, because you can play for quite a while, constantly trying to get through the levels. The one thing that I do like about it, which I was a little bit worried about, was that when you get to a level on each one of the world areas you go to, you don't have to complete them in order. As you complete them, it unlocks more and more levels for that area, and once you've got them all unlocked, you can do them in any order. So if you're having a problem with one, you can leave it alone. And then if you've unlocked and completed, say, all of them bar two, and you're having a real hard trouble, click on the action button on the bottom right corner and it will re-swap everything around for the action levels, and then you work your way through the action ones, and you can keep swapping backwards and forwards, so you don't feel like the game comes to a complete grinding halt when you can't figure out how to get the cat off the damn roof, or how to get these fishes into a basket, or I don't know, make a polar bear juggle shovels. I don't know what levels you're going to get in the future, but you may get to this point where you're kind of like, I have not a clue how to get past this. The game will not stop. They give you more and more of what you want to do. There is the ability to buy different music soundtracks to play in the background, but I've not really bothered with that because I've always been playing the game on mute at work. But there is the ability, Wi-Fi connection, which I don't know what that is. I think you might be able to share levels that you create. You might be able to give each other levels.
That sounds fun.
But, yeah, definitely good. For a DS game, I would definitely give this... I'm pushing on 4 out of 5, maybe 3 out of 5. It's a hard one. Some of the game mechanics are a little bit dodgy because of the way that you control the guy with the stick. But just for the elements of the game and the fact of fun of just sitting there and trying to come up with God knows how many different things you can think to come up with, I'd have to give it a 4 out of 5.
That's cool. I look forward to getting it when it comes out in the UK.
Have some fun playing Catherine's copy.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not the game, you know. I think if someone managed to create...
Of course
that,
it's not the game.
Yeah. If someone had created this using, say, for argument's sake, the Little Big Planet engine, and you managed to get all of that content in there, exactly the same style of game, I think I'd give it 5 out of 5. because you'd be able to control the character a lot better using a gamepad. But for the style of game and the style of graphics and the fact the art style is being done in such a way that because it's so simple graphics, the art style gets around it and it still looks cute and cool without being really dodgy, badly drawn. So, and the animation as well. There is something about it. I just keep start. I always think of like felt on a felt board or something like that. But, no, definitely cool. Right, you wanted to talk about the game I want.
So you've not got it?
No. I'm probably going to have to buy it with my birthday money because I can't afford it because I'm having to put this month's pay and next month's pay that is my own money towards buying my climbing gear. Because I've taken
climbing gear?
Yeah, I've taken up rock climbing. So I'm going on a course train out of Better Hall in Bristol. I need to do something to keep myself fit. And I can't do the whole going to a gym. It bores the living crap out of me. And
just go for a run.
Yeah, it's free.
Or why don't you walk to work?
My motorbike's more fun than walking.
Isn't it, like, not that far away from where you live?
It's a good mile.
Walk! I walk to the station.
I like riding my motorbike, and when I move, I'm going to be a good 20-minute ride away, so I will be happy as anything when I come to...
It'd save you money as well if you walked. You'd get exercise and save money on petrol.
No, I like doing things that are fun. I can't do exercise for the sake of
so
exercise.
So really, you're not rock climbing to keep you fit. You're doing it because you think it's fun.
Yeah, and I'll get
That's
fit.
That's what's really
time.
Going on.
Oh, yeah, it has to be something fun, because I was looking at taking up kendo. But it's really expensive to take up. So one of my mates does this, and he took me to the climbing centre in Bristol, and I had one go, and it was absolutely amazing. So me and my mate Tom, who I go snowboarding with, he wants to do it as well, so we're booked in.
Right, anyway, ODST.
ODST, come on, tell me about it. Tell me about it!
Well, it's a game.
On the 360.
On the Xbox 360. It's called
Halo... See you next week. Bye.
Wait, I haven't finished. It's called Halo 3 ODST. The ODST stands for Orbital Drop Shock Trooper. So these are apparently relatively hardcore shooty soldiers who drop out of orbit to attack people.
Including that guy.
Yes, that guy.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
I've seen several trailers, I do believe.
The advert for it, sorry.
Yeah, we saw that. Tim played it the other day.
Oh, okay. Well, then yes,
some
I've seen it.
People at a funeral or something.
Yeah. I am ODST.
Oh, really? Anyway, so this game's basically an add-on to Halo 3, really. It takes place between the events of Halo 2 and Halo 3.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can remember back to Halo 2, where the Covenant cruiser slip-spaced in the middle of Mombasa.
No, mm-hmm.
New Mombasa. This basically takes place after then, up until the Covenant are digging the big hole they dug in the ground.
Right.
In Halo 3.
Okay.
Is
it all in New Mombasa? You don't have to say if it's anywhere else, but is it all just set in the same place?
It all takes place in and around New Mombasa.
Okay.
I love that name.
Okay.
New Go Mombasa. On. New Mombasa.
So basically, it's just trying to add a bit of flavour to the Halo franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you don't play as the Master Chief, because the Master Chief slip-spaced with that carrier to the Delta Halo in Halo 2.
Yeah.
I won't go into the storyline too much. I'll only say that you play as lots of different ODSTs. You don't just play as one guy. And quite often, in the later missions, you play with several ODSTs at once.
Right.
So you start off playing as a guy called the Rookie, and it's basically several hours after the drop. It's, you know, it's night time now. You know, you've been unconscious for all that time after you dropped rather hard. And you're just trying to, like, go around the city and find out what happened to your squad mates, and that's how the game progresses from there.
Right.
So it's actually quite interesting, especially when you switch back and forth between its different ODSTs. Because it's, I don't know, they've just done a really good job of it. Like,
the environment's a sandbox in it.
Yeah, Mombasa you can just walk around in.
New Mombasa.
Neo Mombasa.
Neo.
Yes.
Did you find that you were being herded into different directions, or you had free room to go where you wanted to?
Earlier on, you were herded, but later on, you could just go wherever you wanted.
Okay. The herding, would you say that's more in the sense of, if you go that way, you're definitely going to get killed. If you go this way, you're less likely to get killed.
No, more like, if you go this way, there's a big locked door in your way.
Right. Okay.
Graphically, obviously, it's not fantastic. It's similar to Halo 3, which wasn't fantastic in its day either. But what really makes up for it is the awesome sound quality. Because obviously Bungie nail this every time. The audio, the actual like sounds themselves are great, and then the soundtrack is amazing.
Just absorbs you in the environment.
Yeah. I mean, part of how well they handle the transition between who you're playing as is, you know, 90% of it is down to the soundtrack. Because it really sets the emotion and all that sort of stuff.
Emotion and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Might as well just say all that shit.
Gameplay-wise, it actually plays more like Halo 3 than I was expecting.
Okay.
In that you're not getting your butt kicked quite as much as I thought you would. I mean, I've completed it on normal now, and I'll play it through on heroic soon enough. And, you know, on normal, you can handle several brutes, no problem.
Okay.
Granted, most of the time, I just stick them with grenades, because that's obviously a lot quicker.
I heard that the tactics of playing it, you have to play it a lot more like how you would play Halo 3 on Legendary, where you're a bit more reserved.
I wouldn't quite go that far.
Okay.
I mean, there are times where, you could just be playing Halo 3. Because there isn't, I mean, you know, you're tackling a similar number of bad guys, and so on and so on.
Okay.
Although, one thing I do find annoying is, this is kind of a spoiler, but later on in the game, a lot of the bad guys have shields, and I mean a lot of them. So even, like, jackals have shields. Like, not just their normal shields, they have full body shields as well.
Okay.
Which is kind of irritating.
I can imagine. It's probably to step up the level. Because one thing that... Oh, no, I shouldn't really say that, because I know something about the contents of the game, and that will ruin it for everyone.
Yeah. Adam, don't spoil it.
Yeah.
Don't spoil it for me.
Achievement-wise, there's lots of different sorts of achievements. You've got, like, the regular, you've completed this mission, this one.
Complete the game.
And then you've completed the game, you've completed on heroic, legendary, so on. But there's lots of other little things, like you had in Halo 3, where you have to stick 10 or 5 bad guys with grenades and things like that.
The skull system's still alive in it as well, isn't it?
Skulls are still alive, yeah.
But they change what they do.
Yeah, it's all different sorts of skulls. But, I mean, you do have some of the regular ones, like No HUD and things like that.
Yeah.
Multiplayer-wise, it ships with the Halo 3 multiplayer on a separate disc.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've already got Halo 3, the multiplayer doesn't add anything from the traditional sort of deathmatch, team deathmatch, capture the flag point of view, because it is literally just Halo 3.
Yeah.
Although you do have all the downloadable maps, which have been released since Halo 3 came out.
Yeah, which I'm looking forward to, because I have got all of the big map packs that have come out, but I've got them half a year to a year after their release when they were free. I've never actually paid for any of the maps, so all the ones that are running at the moment I haven't got because I can't bother to pay for them, which means I can't play some of the elements of Halo 3 multiplayer because you have to have all the maps to jump into it. So for me it expands it open. For other people who are kind of like saying, what's the point, I've got all the maps, I've already got Halo 3, as far as I'm concerned, it's an opportunity to say, well, I'll use my ODST disc and I'll lend someone else Halo 3 so I can play with them online. So
the big multiplayer component in this, which is new, is what's called the firefight mode, which is up to four player, I do believe, where you just face wave and waves after of bad guys. So you have like a little sort of arena style map, and you just have to hang out for as long as possible and not die. And they've got a scoring system in that. So like every time you kill a dude, you might get 100 points or so.
It's quite hard to get the achievements, though, I've been told.
Yeah. So one of the achievements is to get 200,000 points. My little go with Tim I had, I think we got to about 30,000 points. So we're
quite far off.
Quite a way off.
With the multiplayer, the Hellfire system that they brought in, can you play that by yourself with bots?
Yeah. You can play it by yourself. There's no bots, but you can do it by yourself.
Right, so if you play by yourself, it's just you versus the horde of oncoming aliens.
Yeah.
And then obviously you play up to the full team. Is it split screen on box multiplayer, or is it only on Xbox Live?
It's split screen as well.
That's cool. I must admit, that's always been the good thing I've liked about Bungie. They've been excellent on their delivery of multiplayer features. You know, we're just hoping that this carried on the same sort of thing. But
yeah, content-wise, I'm not sure if it's worth 40 quid or not.
It's not worth 60 quid.
Well, yeah, we paid 60 quid.
No, we paid.
I must admit,
55.
Okay.
I've seen it everywhere in the stores retailing at $32.99, and I've even found it on Amazon for $27.
That's a much more reasonable price.
But I wanted the controller, so.
Yeah, obviously, if you want.
We got the limited edition jobby.
Yeah.
The controller's actually raised, so the stuff that's printed on it is really nice.
It's not just printed on, you can run your finger
along it and you'll feel it.
Yeah.
It's a nice
controller.
With that version, is there anything that's on the game or in the packaging that's different? No. Or is it just, you get the same game, but you get the controller with it?
Same game. It's in
You get a fancy box.
A huge plastic box.
Right, so it's a box with a controller and the game in the same packaging that everyone else gets. It's just you get it in a display. Oh, that's not too bad. I still like the fact I've got my Master Chief helmet, although it's not here now.
We all have Master Chief helmets, Adam.
I know, it's so cool. I'm really disappointed, though, that it's got a slot in there, because everyone kept saying, it's the size of a cat's head, and I was like, I want to get a Kellogg's box and put it on my cat, and put it the helmet on the cat, and it'd be like, rah, rah, Master Chief cat.
Yes, Adam, because of course the cat could lift the helmet up.
Oh, poor cat. Break its neck.
So gameplay-wise, the single-player campaign took me maybe 4 or 6 hours or so to complete.
Okay.
That was on normal.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times where I just thought, screw it, and just ran through the whole level.
They're chasing me!
Well, no, you know what it's like. You're getting towards the end and you're thinking, come on, let's get this done.
Yeah. That's cool.
So it's not as long as Halo 3.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like I said, it is more of an add-on rather than a brand new game.
Well, like a lot of people wouldn't realise, for this, it's not done by the Halo 3 team. Because the Halo 3 team is working on Reach at the moment.
Well, I mean, it's done by... I did recognise quite a few of the names
when
the credits rolled.
As far as I'm aware, the team that has been put forward to do this is not the Reach team. It's actually the team that was set aside to help with the Halo movie.
Yep, that's right.
And obviously the director and everyone else for the digital side of the Halo movie went on and made District 9, where the Bungie team went ahead and made this game. So it's understandable of the length of the game because of the time frame they had to make it in. But I think it's quite a nice touch. In fact, you get this as you're waiting for the big Reach game. I think it's quite a good idea. But like you said, it is kind of like an expansion on the story in itself.
Yep. So taking into account that it is an expansion, I would give it... I'd give it 5 out of 5.
Yeah, just for the fact there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to rate it as a brand new game, obviously it would score lower because it does have so much in common with Halo 3. Which is why it has Halo 3 in the title, because it is Halo 3 with what is essentially new maps and new characters, and that's it.
Yeah, you're playing as a different character in the same story from a different perspective of what you didn't get to see happening in the war that you were playing in.
Yeah, the environments in the single-player campaign, New Mombasa, I wasn't too keen on. It was a bit bland.
Right.
What did you think was a bit bland?
New Mombasa.
Yeah.
But some of the sequences during the day, which were, around Mombasa as well, were actually quite well done.
Okay.
So you're not just fighting in a city, you do have, like, the regular sort of Halo outdoor bits as well.
Cool. Okay.
So yeah, that's pretty much that.
So we just got to wait for the beta of Reach, and then we'll be able to play that on the game.
Is there, like, a piece of paper inside about it with a code? Or?
I don't know. I haven't even looked. I just took the game out.
Basically, when you go into ODST, the ODST disc, disc one, not Halo 3 disc.
Yeah.
When you go onto the menu system, obviously you've got the same menu system as Halo 3 minus a few features, with, and you've got Firefight. You go, I think it's Extras. If you go into Extras, when you open up that, I think you might find there's nothing there. That is where the Halo Reach beta will appear. So they're going to activate it in the game. So when the game actually activates, the only software that can actually get into the beta will be the Halo 3.
Yeah, that was right. That's they've done that to stop people from trading it in, I assume.
Yeah, because you're not going to trade it in unless you've got it. Now, they did put on the front of the sticker, limited edition Reach. Now, what I'm thinking is, either they're doing that classic thing like they did with Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, where they said limited edition, which meant that only so many of the discs were going to have that extra one inside. But I've got the feeling that maybe at one point you'll be able to buy ODST and it will not have that Reach beta feature built in.
Quite possibly.
But for now, I think pretty much all of the copies will all have this feature, and at least until the beta comes out. I think after the beta, if it went to, like, Platinum or whatever the
Classics.
Xbox. Classics, that's it. If it goes to Classics, it won't have that beta in there, because obviously the beta will be running for a limited time and then it will stop working. But obviously then Reach will be out. So it's a good thing to keep, at least until the beta is out, to keep you going until you can get that.
So that's that for this week.
Yep.
Thank you for listening. Feedback, as always, can go to gamercast.net. Just leave it on the blog there. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/gamercast.
Yep.
Subscribe to us as well. There's links on places.
Yeah.
And we will see you guys next week. No, we won't.
But we won't, because you're not here next week.
No. I'm not going to be here next week because it's my birthday.
But me and Catherine might do it ourselves.
Yeah, feel free to.
So she's sort of saying to me.
Depends on how we feel.
Yeah, depends on how.
If you want to do it without me, I don't mind. I won't be offended. It gets me so much to listen to at work. I can actually listen to GamerCast at work and not be freaked out by the fact I can hear my own voice and I know what's going to be said.
Yes, I am freaked out.
Yeah, so I'm turning one more year as my age. After this year, it'll be my last year being in my 20s. Scary.
You're getting old, dude.
I know,
you're
getting
an old man.
I think when you get into your late 20s, it's the age range where you start forgetting how old you are. I actually have to think about it when people ask
me. I've been like that since my early 20s.
I've been forgetting how old I was since I was 18. And they'd be like, how old are you? It's like...
You have to think. I always start picking the date beforehand. I think most of the way from 25 to 27, I kept thinking I was 25. And then 26, I wasn't too bad. And 27, I kind of got around to it. Now I'm 28, I still keep having to think about it. And sometimes I need to go, oh, yeah, I'm 29. I'm like, no, I'm not 29 yet. No, not yet. But yeah, 29 next week.
I told someone I was 22 the other day. He's like, I mean, no. But yeah. Anyway.
So we'll be definitely back in 2 weeks, and we might see you again next week.
Yes. Yeah. Depends on how much news there is.
Until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you guys later.